What had commenced this?
Doing a brief comic synopsis of what we were going to be talking about and then just kind of
jumping into it.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
What, we still don't have a third subject.
Maybe something will come.
Two might be enough. We might have a lot to talk about on the two subjects.
Indeed.
Because I've got heaps of things written down here.
You've written stuff down?
I made notes so I wouldn't forget.
I'm totally screwed.
Well,
I bought the cigarette. Does that count?
Kinda, yeah. The first one we were going to talk about was our friend Leaf's theory. Oh, it's not actually his theory. David Icke's theory is also another person who comes up with it, with the lizard men ruling the world.
Yeah.
The Illuminati, as the popular term for them today, is a group which has been around for thousands of years on this planet. They came from off of this planet and interbred with humans. They are reptilian. They have their chosen bloodlines, and they continue to try and keep their genetics pure and interbreed with these chosen bloodlines. These beings are part human and they are part reptilian, and they continue to run the planet. They are our world leaders, and nobody at this current time who is a government leader is there running the countries unless they were put there by them or they are one of them. Bloodline, in my particular case, I was a slave. And to them, most of humanity, or all of humanity, they consider inferior. They consider humanity a resource to be used for their purpose. They are at a time, a very important time right now, when they are working with some new energies on this planet that they don't work well with. So a lot is coming out into the open, and that is higher law, that it must come out into the open. And they are under higher law also.
Which, to be quite fair, I'm probably more on your side than Leaf's side, but to make the show but a little bit more interesting, I'm going to play devil's advocate here and see if I can argue some of your points.
Okay, even though I want to hear first you make a rational argument for this man ruling the world.
Okay, let's not start making the show impossible for me. There is no rational argument that lizards are... Well, there is a few rational... Well, let me get this right off the bat, okay? Stupid idea that's built on... What it's built on and where it's come from is actually some sound ideas, but they've plastered over the stupid thing with, like, lizard people, and I think it's something to do with debunking it and debunking some of the ideas, because some of the things it comes from is very true. Some of it's based on actual religions. Especially the Sumerian. I think it's the Sumerian religion, the base Sumerian, a hell of a lot on. But what I find comical is that they're based a lot of these... The Sumerians thought that they're basically what they call the gods, which came from the sky, came from a certain planet, and they've dug this up. As far as they know, they're saying that this is some religious scripture. It could just be somebody's book that they made up, or like our equivalent of a comic book. It's like digging up someone from 2,000 years from now, someone digging up, I don't know, a video with friends on it, and everyone thinking that they're the gods, kind of thing, if that makes any sense.
Yeah.
And so that, to me, is a bit weird. But there is some things in it I really do agree with, which is the point that a lot of the biblical text, especially the Old Testament, is actually based on Sumerian and other religions. They've just changed the wording, especially with the word gods. They tend to just put down to God. And so I kind of agree with that side of it. But this whole idea...
That's just how folklore moves, though, because tribes move, people move, and they take their word of mouth. Bear in mind, back in Sumeria, a lot of it was word of mouth. A lot of their kind of... A lot of their stuff... Because they would use cuneiform script back then, which is wet clay.
Yes.
And then doing these little etchings in wet clay. And, I mean, the Sumerians were kick-ass astrologers and stuff like that. They really...
A lot of the stuff they pulled up is actually, we've only proved in the last 10 years what the Sumerians have had written in their scriptures, books, whatever you like to call them.
Yeah, but bear in mind, we didn't really have any need to prove it.
Yeah, that is also very
true. That they deemed really important to us are kind of like...
Yeah, that's very true as well.
We've come on a long way from the Sumerians.
Yes. It wasn't the Sumerians called the race of people that they believed to be what they call gods, or gods on a slight side, which is where David Icke comes into it, because he talks about the, is it the Anunnaki? A lot. And that is based on the Sumerian text that they've got. But the Anunnaki also pop up in other people's, is it Northern Indian religion? They pop up there, and they also pop in up in some Australian things as well. With the lizard people. They've all got different names, but it's basically identical.
Yeah, but...
So that is their argument. They're saying that, okay, worldwide there is this whole thing where people...
Yeah, but also worldwide there are lizards.
Exactly. That was going to be my argument. Even though I'm fighting against myself here. This also seems to be... There is... They're based in countries where there are lots of lizards. We never really had lizards.
We don't have lizards, man, because we don't really have lizards.
No. But we had dragons. See, this is their other argument. But then dragons, to me, come from folklore. It's from a totally different background. But they still tie in the whole dragon thing with the being controlled by lizards. But the thing that does interest me, that this is an actual fact, an actual honest-to-God truth fact, is that all the people who rule the world at the moment and all the people in power are all, in some way, shape, or form, related. Now, did you know that? This has actually been a proven scientific fact.
Oh, I love it when something is...
I actually looked this up on the... On fact. More than one website, and it is an actual fact.
More than one website? Well, then it must be true.
Well, listen, no, it's popped up on a few. I even went on to New Scientist, which is like as scientific as you can possibly get. And it's some guys in some Northern Californian lab where they smoked far too much weed. Yeah, sat and traced everyone's ancestry back. And they're saying that basically they're not saying all, but most of the people in major power positions at the moment are all related. In some way, shape, form. Now, you could also argue that we're all related in the end anyway.
Exactly, but, 6 degrees of separation. But please explain to me how the Queen is, say, related to Robert Mugabe and...
Sisters.
They're sisters.
Yeah, they share the same parents, but you would never guess, because...
You wouldn't guess
they paint the black out of her. So it's CGI.
Is it?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, the wily lizard men and their pranks.
Yes. So, yeah, that was the other thing. I watched the David Icke thing.
Wait a minute, you're glossing over this proven scientific fact about everyone being related to
No, other. I looked it up, and you can look at it yourself if you like. It's called the Dragon King Theory. And,
so it's a theory, not a scientifically proven fact.
Well, no, it's a Dragon King fact that they're all somehow related through certain people. It's not like as in they're not all brothers, sisters, and uncles. They all have similar relatives, and they all come from similar relatives somewhere along the line.
Everyone has that. Every
suppose that, well, most, it says the majority of people in power. Now, what they mean by in power, I'm not quite sure. I'm assuming they're talking like the Queen, the Pope, the American presidents, the British.
The Queen doesn't actually have any power. Neither really does.
That is also true, the Queen, but I suppose, yeah, that's true. The Queen doesn't have any power, no.
So
she has the power to make us all sit in front of the television on Christmas Day.
The people in power, according to the people who believe in the Illuminati.
That is also what next point I was going to bring up, which is
the Rothschilds and all that.
KFC, yep. That's from sorry. That was a quote from Sorry, Married an Axe Murderer. With his wee beady eyes. Yeah. So, but the other part of it, which interested me as well, was the hybrid race, which is also pops up in more than one religion, which seems to me genetics before genetics was ever invented.
Which leads me to believe that it's a complete and utter pile of bullshit.
Yeah, there is that point, but it's...
But apart from the fact that there's lizard DNA and human DNA, which I believe is the plot line to V.
That is also true, yeah. So you're trying to tell me that V is the Bible according to the...
It's like the Scientologists.
Yeah, well, they're...
L. Ron Hubbard's Battlefield Earth,
yes,
or whatever.
Possibly the worst film ever made.
Yeah. And so the lizard people, believers, whoever, whatever they call themselves, have V as their as their Bible.
I'm still really confused by Scientology. Now, I know this is slightly going off topic now, but Scientology just baffles me. So do they, people, Scientologists, actually believe that one day they're all going to go and live in another planet?
Scientology isn't so much a religion. It's more of a club.
It seems to be. It reminds me of the Indian caste system. They seem to all have different, like, hierarchies inside the Scientologists themselves.
It does.
They're all that,
yeah,
so
it does.
That to
apart
me
from the caste system, you can't really move within it.
That is true, yeah, that is true. It just seems really odd.
It's all based on wealth as well. So it's just, essentially, it's a it's just rich people playing God.
You're just jealous, aren't you? I heard the hint of jealousy in your voice then.
My feet and levels were so low.
It does also remind me of Dungeons and Dragons and all these RPG games where
yeah.
The more money you make and the more loot you collect in your life, you go up the ranks. Or the echelons of Scientology, which to me seems odd. But
it is odd, seeing as it's completely based on a sci-fi writer's insane ramblings.
That is true. But then again, you could say that most of the people we do follow have usual insanity seems to be a running thing in religion, as far as I'm concerned. Okay, so we talked about Anunnaki. The other thing, have you heard about the lower fourth dimension?
The lower fourth dimension?
Yes. Now this...
the higher fourth dimension, but not the lower fourth.
No, the lower fourth dimension, which they also said that the lizard people live in. They live in this dimension. This is why we can't see them. So they're just out of plain sight. Now this to me is getting on the realms of ridiculous now, but they reckon... But they also, the weird thing is that they've gone on about this, and it's in certain religious... books, but it also pops up in the Bible, and it's also another name for hell in the Bible.
Okay, wait a minute. Which Bible?
Oh, God knows. I don't know. The
Old or New Testament?
I'm assuming it's old, okay. Which is, I know, based on other religions anyway. They just all sat around and said, well, that bit's good, and that bit's good. Basically, the Bible kind of reminds me of Lord of the Rings, where Tolkien sat down, who was a history professor, and looked at the history of Europe, and thought, well, that bit was cool, and that bit was cool, and then you just kind
of
twisted it slightly.
That's more the New Testament. That's more the New Testament. The Old Testament is
fire and brimstone.
No, it's just Jewish Hebraic faith. It's their laws and doctrine and folklore throughout the last 6,000 years, written down, eventually written down, after a long time when it was word of mouth.
Yeah, that's true. So it does twist like Chinese whispers. Things
exactly.
Get.
Yeah. Things taken, like the Greek myths. I mean, things could have gone a completely different way, and we could all be going down the whole Greek route.
Which would have been great. Stupid Romans trying to push civilization on top of us, which quite clearly doesn't work.
No, it doesn't.
Yeah, that was. And the other thing I came across after the Dragon Kings, which. The whole DNA thing is one of the strongest arguments for the lizard people is, I don't know if you've heard about this, is what they call the DNA junk. Have you heard about this?
No.
Well, we have in our DNA, scientists only know what 2% of our DNA does. Mm. And it's this whole theory that, okay, so the other 98% is just junk. It doesn't do anything. And so the lizard people are arguing, I'm supposed to be arguing at the point now, but I'm smiling trying to think about it, is that a lot of that 98% is basically what the lizard people have invented for us. It's a way of keeping us under control, and it's a lot to do with the whole control, which to me what religion is anyway is a control. But
okay, if the lizard people have control of every single person on earth through what 98% of our DNA,
yes, they also feed off our misery. That's how they survive, is that they need us to be miserable and sad all the time for them to survive. So the way of doing that is by causing wars and famine and hunger and for the human race to be bad to each other. So they implant
You mean human nature?
Well, yeah, we call it human nature, but the argument for the lizard people is that they implant certain people, because a lot of people say, okay, when you meet most people, they're kind of nice people. The majority of people are reasonably nice and reasonably sane, but then you get that small amount that can cause damage to the whole human nature. And they're the controlling faction. They're basically trying to say that they're the ones that are being controlled by the lizard people to do that on purpose so that we are miserable.
Okay, well, I would disagree with that. I would say that 90% of the people I met are douchebags, and there's about 4% of decent quality people out there. Which, over, like, how many was it, 6 billion people in the world, is still a fair amount of people.
Yes.
But it's mob mentality that kind of, like, screws people up. It's lack of education that screws people up. It's religion. It's just...
It's a multiple facet.
There's so many. Things. It's so incredibly complex.
Yeah, it's complex, isn't it?
That just to put it under a nice banner of, oh, wait a minute, I can't really explain this. So I think that lizard people have taken over 98% of my DNA. There, that wraps it up nicely with a big bow. It's lizard people. It's a little easy.
Yeah, I agree. We all know it's werewolves. Are you laughing at my religion that I think werewolves control the world?
Damn lichens.
Yeah, I completely and utterly agree with you on that point. I think that it seems a bit...
Does Leaf believe this stuff?
I'm not sure if he believes it or if he just finds it interesting. Okay. I'm not 100% sure, because it's really
hard to
tell.
I can never tell what he's joking about. That
yeah, I can't either, so I'm not 100% sure.
So let us know, Leaf.
Yeah, Leaf, when...
Where you actually stand on it.
When you hear this and you can get in contact with us and tell us how you actually feel, and if you just implanting these things to infuriate me and Alistair, or is it an actual belief system that you have? And if you do believe that there is lizard people, do you know any? And who do you think is a lizard?
Well, if he isn't, we could dissect him. And we could try and find out which bits of him...
Well, Leaf's obviously not a lizard, because he believes there are lizards. How does that work? I'm not quite sure, but he must obviously think that people he has met in his life are lizards. And the other thing I always thought was lizards are cold-blooded, right? Which means that they have to bask in the sun and they have to heat themselves, so they tend to not live in cold climates, which pretty much rules out anywhere north of a certain point in Europe where you're not going to find these lizard people, because it's just too cold for them. So we're quite safe up here in Scotland.
And better, yeah, but also, I mean, you think of the Russians... They're quite an angsty people.
That is true, yeah.
They're quite sad a lot of the time, so you'd think they would be kind of like, you're a lizard. Yeah, they live in a country that can't sustain lizard life.
That is true. I never thought about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's just one of the...
So there's a flaw in the lizard plan straight away. Who's controlling the people in the cold countries, like Sweden and Norway? Is that why Sweden and Norway are always so happy?
The bear people.
Yeah, and what about Eskimos? Think about the Eskimos, Alistair.
I do a lot.
I do a lot as well. So obviously the Eskimos are safe up there. Maybe that's why the lizard people are trying to create global warming, so that they can get up to these points. So if the ice caps do melt, they can go up there and kill all the Eskimos. Maybe they've just got it in for Eskimos.
My God, Sean, I think you're actually right. You're starting to bring me around on the whole lizard people thing.
Oh, I've run out of notes for lizard people now. That was it.
Well, I mean, I don't think they deserve any more conversation.
No, so are we having a whole gods and monsters vote here, that lizard, the whole debunking of lizard people?
I'm going to vote that lizard people...
What about the other side of David Icke's? Do you think that he, like, slight off topic, but do you think David Icke is a bit of a revolutionary in the state, that some of the things he did claim did actually come true? Or do you think he just wrote out, like, thousands of things, and then just out of them thousands of things, obviously some of them were going to have to come true, because you can't miss every time? Because he did predict the floods in New Orleans, and he did predict the attack in America, and he did predict that another Bush was going to get voted in ever before he went up. So he did predict quite a few things. But then I don't know.
I'm going to make some predictions for you now. I'm going to make some predictions for you now.
Mm-hmm.
There will be another ecological disaster within 5 years.
Oh, of course there's going to be another fucking...
Exactly, of course there's going to be. It's not fucking hard to work that out.
He didn't know, but he actually predicted. He didn't just say there was going to be one. He said there was going to be one in the Gulf of Mexico and the southern states of America. He actually was quite precise in his prediction.
Not, it's because it's an incredibly temperamental... they have hurricane seasons there.
Yeah, I know.
So I predict there's going to be at least 5 hurricanes this hurricane season in the Gulf of Mexico.
Yes.
At least 5. So does that mean that come, say, this time next year, when there are 5 or more hurricanes, that I get declared a prophet?
Yes.
Do I get my own mug?
Your own mug?
That says prophet.
Yeah, well, I can make you one of those if you want.
Cool.
That'd be quite cool with your picture, your face in it, with your thumbs up.
Yep.
Prophet of the year.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, I agree with you totally. That's what I mean by the hit and miss. He also made predictions, like he did obvious ones. Was it not him who predicted that one day there'd be a bridge from mainland Scotland to Skye? And everyone was like, well, no shit. Of course yeah. There's going to be a bridge. It's, like, it's just so obvious. They're just waiting for someone to with the money to come along and do it.
Yeah.
So, yes, I agree with you. I don't think he's a prophet. I think he's...
I think that the best thing to do with prophets and people like that is to see what the ratio is of how many they actually predicted and how many came true. I'd love to see how many actually came true, things he said, and how much is just hasn't happened. I bet there's far more that just hasn't happened. Because no one writes or says anything about the stuff that hasn't happened compared to what has happened.
Exactly, exactly. I agree with you totally. Which is what happens. It's like fear-mongering almost. So, yes.
Hedging your bets. That's all it is, hedging your bets. You make enough.
It's intelligent guesses that you're going to make, that he's made. He's made X amount of intelligent guesses that he thinks. He said that, okay, the Western world is going to make war on basically oil-making countries, which was an intelligent guess because you could see that happening from the 70s. You knew that was... It's been happening.
Long before then.
Yeah, exactly. So, and he... It's just one of those things. I don't think Israel and the whole Middle East thing is ever going to be easily fixed.
No, it's not.
Until you go over there and sort it out.
Well, I tried. I went there a couple of years ago. They just wouldn't listen to me. I don't think I had a big enough beard.
I want next a time, hot dog. I'm going to have a big beard. Yeah, I've never been to the Middle East, so I can't argue on any of the points.
It's very hot. It's very dusty.
That's why I would never go. I don't like the heat. So, is that the end of that topic?
Yes.
So we leave a 5-second gap and we'll cut it and I'll play... What song was it you asked for? The Black Eyed Snakes?
Black Eyed Snakes, Good Woman Blues.
Okay, I'll play that now.
Fantastic.
So the second topic of the day,
yes,
is how age is affecting our view on the world, or our view on specifically films and music and friendship and life in general and everything.
Yeah.
And how is there any way when you were younger you thought you'd feel like this, or is it all shock and horror? Oh my God, kind of thing.
I think it's very easy to kind of look back and say on how you thought things were going.
Well, yeah, there's obviously nostalgia. Change. Yeah.
I mean, your priorities changed as soon as you had a kid.
Yes, that is very true.
And so it's all about perspective for what you want out of life, which can change day to day.
But it's interesting when you hear people talking about when they were kids in the 50s, and they always said like the 1950s was the golden age for children, because they had the best toys and they had the best, everything was going on, and the country was in boom. And then they grew up as teenagers in the 60s, which I'm incredibly jealous of, because the 60s were just like serious boom. It was a culture shock for most people. But then the 70s was dark and depressing, so you don't really hear.
Yeah, see, they say that, but
they had T-Rex.
I would have liked to have been a teenager in the 70s.
Do you think?
Well, I would have gone to like Skinner gigs, Zeppelin gigs.
Yeah, see, they had the great bands came out in the 70s, I think.
But it's all because it only seems crap to them because, and this is always specifically in America as well that they bang on about it, yeah, is because they had the big boom after the Second World War.
Yes.
And everything was all about optimism and growth like that. And then when it didn't work out the way they thought it was going to work out, they started whinging about it.
Yeah, that's also true.
I mean,
but
things compared to now would have been great in the 70s.
Yeah, that's true.
It's because they were screwed over by Nixon, which was their first big disappointment in government.
Yep.
And so they saw that as like a huge...
Well, see, I was thinking more along the lines of this country, though. America went through the whole thing that they went through, but we went through three-day weeks and the whole country went into complete and utter recline and decline, and which is a better word to use.
Yeah, but that's just...
And we always see films like Kez, is how I think of the 70s. Like the late 70s, you know, when it's like dirty mining towns of the north and the whole country was skint.
That's because the unions were...
Yeah, fucked everything up.
The unions, and then it was like a crap Labour government, and then the Conservatives got in and like disbanded all the...
So, but as a kid, you wouldn't know that was happening. You're just living with what you've got.
I didn't have a clue what was going on.
We were babies in the 70s, so I wouldn't say that we grew up in the 70s. We weren't
young. We grew up in the 80s.
So we were 80s kids, showing our age now, but we were 80s kids. And to be honest with you, I think the fashions and the music of the 80s is mostly crap. But yes, we were lucky because we had the absolute amazing films came out in the 80s. We were very lucky that way, and some incredibly good TV shows came out in the 80s. But there was this boom in a totally different direction that we grew up with cartoons and
the
birth of all that stuff that we were, and the birth of computer games also came out when we were there.
It was when merchandising first started to come out, really after, say, 75 with Jaws, when it first started the... tie-in with...
Yeah, and Star Wars and Jaws.
Star Wars and stuff like that. So we grew up where we could have toys of things that we saw, so we could play our own versions of the cartoons we were watching.
Well, what happened was they realised that the toys were selling better than the films, so they started making the films based around the toys.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is like basically like Transformers. They made the toy, then made the cartoon around the toy, so that you go out and buy more. So every time they had a new toy they wanted to sell to the kids, they'd just make a couple of TV shows about how cool this new character was, and then we'd all go out and go, I want that toy.
For example, the Dinobots.
I was never into Transformers, to tell you the truth. I had one and it pissed me off no end because I couldn't make it into what I wanted. It was like a stupid thing. So, but then again, I was totally addicted to Lego, and I'd spent hours, but I never made what I was supposed to be making with the Lego. If someone give me a castle, Lego castle, I would never make a castle ever. I'd make something that maybe slightly resemble what it was supposed to be, but then I'd start changing it to suit how I wanted. That's why I always loved Lego.
You're supposed to do it yourself to your own.
Yes, exactly.
Imagine it. Yeah, that's what's great about it.
But with Transformers, it was either a car or a robot. That used to piss me off because sometimes I wanted it to be a gun or
Well, you should have bought Megatron.
Yes, that's very true. But I was a poor child. I couldn't afford all these things. I didn't grow up on a moat like some people did. On Golgotha. At the foot of Jesus himself. Yeah, no, some of us didn't have that kind of luck, I suppose. But I had other things. So
you had that stick.
I had that stick that had the soul of Bruce Lee in it. At least I was told that. I actually remember as a kid by being bought a knife, like a pen knife, and hearing arguments in the background going on, because obviously it was quite sharp, and I was, must have been 4 or 5, and then being told that if I buried the metal in the garden in the back, in the mud, it would make it sharper and make it look cooler. And so I used to leave it in overnight and for days on end, because I was told that, and it was only years afterwards I realised that they just wanted it to rust. So that I couldn't stab
Who
people.
Who told you to bury a knife?
It was like my mum and dad and all that. So that it was basically, instead of telling me that I couldn't play with it because it was sharp, they told me that...
Are you sure that's the reason? When you were given...
I also could have dreamt that.
Your father, was it covered in blood? And then they're going to go and bury it somewhere.
Go and bury this in the garden, son. You ain't seen me, right? It could quite possibly be that. No, I'm never going to look at my father the same now.
About people dying, babies gone missing in the Lee area of Lancashire in the early 80s.
Oh, God. Yeah, so also the thing that sparked this conversation was all these film remakes they're starting to come out with, like Flight of the Navigator they're remaking. Rumours of ET2 are being circulating. And it seems to me that all these film execs are trying to relive their youth in the 80s with all the great films that we had. And so they're just remaking them with CGI. But there is a certain soullessness that doesn't fit itself with a CGI that fits with... Like, Neverending Story is the other one that they're making. And I don't know, there's something about CGI that fits sometimes, but doesn't fit other times. If that makes any
sense.
Well,
if you're Michael Bay and the only thing you can think of,
it's CGI. Yeah, exactly. It seems soulless.
CGI as a plot point instead of just something to.
It's a bit over the top. I'm very interested to see Avatar. Have you heard anything about Avatar? The new James Cameron film. I don't know if you've heard anything about this. It's called Avatar. It's due out in December this year, I think. And they basically invented all new ways of filming because it's so technical. They've had to come across, and it sounds completely insane when you hear like the plot line. That as far as I can tell you, the plot, I could be wrong here, and I'm sure people are going to write to me, because you know what people on the internet are like, you're wrong! That it's set in a world where humans can't live on the planet, but they're already a race of 10 foot tall blue people that live on the planet, I forget the name. And so they invent this mixed race, what, half human, half blue, but that can go and live on the planet and talk to these people, but instead of being people themselves, they're controlled by other humans from a distance, from further away. So the humans actually go into like some kind of state of being, like a dreamlike state of being, and they can then control the avatars, as they're called, to go and speak to these 10 foot tall blue people. And I'm assuming that some kind of war breaks out between them. And the main character is an ex-marine who was crippled in combat, but then gets to take control of one of the avatars and gets all his freedom, because he can fly and do all these sorts of things. That is the basic premise of the film. Which sounds really interesting. I have to say, it does sound interesting, but it also sounds completely insane. And that how they're going to pull a plot line together out of that, that's not going to be just pure CGI all the way through.
Yeah, well...
And James Cameron does like a CGI when you think about it. When you think about Titanic.
He does. But he used it really well in things like The Abyss.
He did use it incredibly well in The Abyss. But then
he might just kind of like spadge all over it.
Well, it took him 2 years to film Titanic because of all the effects in it, and they had to time to do it all right. But this one, it's been 4 years in the making already, and it's still not finished. So basically, by the time they finish, it's going to be touching 5 years in the making. So they spent a lot of time, and it's also been filmed in this new 3D, whatever the hell it's called.
Yeah.
Which is supposed to be amazing. I've never actually witnessed it. It's supposed to be really. It's not like the old 3D. The thing I hear about 3D films is when they decide to have loads of bits where the guy's arm jumps out, and when you're not watching in 3D, it's like blatantly obvious that that bit was just filmed purely for the 3D audience. I hate that. It's like it pulls you out of the film. Whereas if they just filmed it as if like a normal film, and then just made it distraction. 3D. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, and like all of a sudden there's someone pointing a spear at the screen. You're thinking, what is he doing that? That looks stupid. And you realise it's for the 3D fans. So yeah, I'm off topic now. Forgot what I'm talking about. Help me, Alistair. Help me.
About how we view things now.
Oh, as we're older. That's right. Yeah. And music's the other thing I want to talk to you, because I always remember when I was a teenager, and my parents and uncles would always complain about how crap new music was. Like the grunge scene, they hated it, the grunge scene, because it all sounded like stuff they've all heard before. And I was shocked by this. Even though I used to listen to a lot of 60s and 70s music, I still loved 90s music. But now that we're a generation again, and the new music's coming out, and I do think a lot of new music is crap. And it sounds like rehashed of other stuff, but done worse. Do you think I have an argument there, or do you think I'm just getting old?
I think it's unfair to put grunge. I think generally, yes, it is just rehashing everything now. Just sounds like it just has huge 80s stuff. But that's popular music, though. You just have to delve a little deeper, and you can find great stuff.
But the stuff we listened to in the 90s was also heavily influenced by 70s rock. And so people who listen to 70s rock would probably say that a lot of that stuff was rehashed.
Yeah, but grunge, I mean...
But then again, do you think we're just seeing it through rose-tinted glasses? Because when... I could probably name maybe 20 bands from the 90s who were fantastic, and then there's a whole load of crap that we delve through, and we just completely ignored. You just ignore it. Whereas nowadays, you're kind of force-fed, spoon-fed a lot of the pop music, and we don't get to delve deeper into how we would have delved before because we don't have time. What was that? I think mainly the difference is that I think sometimes we had a different perspective because we listened to the stuff that the bands we listened to were influenced by as well. Does that make sense? So, like Pearl Jam would come along and say they were hugely influenced by like Led Zeppelin. We were already Led Zeppelin fans before Pearl Jam came along, and we could just hear the influence in their music. Whereas now, I'm still a fan of all the 70s bands and the 60s bands and the 90s bands, but I can't hear any bands nowadays that are influenced by the same music that I listen to, or used to listen to, or still listen to.
You can, you just need to dig a little hard. There's just none in popular...
But it seems to have got to a point where they were evolving that type of music, and then it stopped. And now the only band you hear now are de-evolving the sound. Does that make sense? So you either go from one extreme to the other.
Itself.
Yeah, you got like one extreme where you got like, say, we listen to Led Zeppelin, where you could say some of Led Zeppelin stuff's quite proggy, and some of it's quite experimental. And then you could go to the extreme nowadays, we've got bands like Mars Volta, I think, are influenced by that side, but they're just purely that side. And so trying to listen to one of their albums is a bit of a head fuck. But then you get the other way, and it seems like the White Stripes and all these other garage rock bands are going in the other direction, and they're de-evolving the sound. And so it's just really, really like they're just sat in the garage rocking, which I'm not complaining about. I do really like. I like both of them, but it doesn't seem to be any middle ground anymore. We seem to be missing something, and I'm not quite sure what. It just feels like there's something missing somewhere along the line. Now, I probably could blame here the technology and the dawn of computers in the recording studio, where everything sounds so polished and sheened, which I don't really like. I like things to sound raw and fucked up. That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
So, do you think that has an influence on music? Like, the fact that, I suppose, in the 60s and 70s, they only had X amount of tracks to record the songs, so they had to be more inventive. Whereas nowadays, you can go to a studio and you can record 1,000 tracks, and they just put it a pile on top of each other in the computer.
Yes, that's true.
So then you can basically do whatever you want, and you don't have that restrictions. Then so you just record any kind of twaddle, and you think you can get away with it.
True.
What do you mean true? You're supposed to be arguing with me.
I keep trying, but you keep fucking waffling on.
Sorry. Just blurt in, and I'll shut up.
I do keep trying, and you keep going.
Okay, carry on. You start now, then.
Which aspect of what the fucking monologue you've just come out with do you want me to comment
on? I can't hear you speaking, you see, at the moment. You just keep cutting out, and so I'm terrified that you've been cut off, because you just did get cut off. And so I keep talking and double-clicking on your Skype to make sure you're still there. Sorry. I'll stop waffling now.
I don't know which aspect to address now. Right. Yeah, bands had to be tighter. They had to practice a lot more.
Yeah.
Back in the day, a lot more was recorded live.
Yeah, that is true.
So it worked better in that way. But to be honest, there's a dearth of good music, as in there's a lot more where it's just people at home doing stuff on their computers, which on one side is really, really good, where you don't need so much, you don't have to get a record label anymore. Yeah, all you need is a distributor, or you need is a MySpace page to get started, like, mm-hmm. I mean, which is excellent, really, really good. But on the other hand, it means that any fucker can record music, and some people will like it.
That is true.
But
so you could say in one element that the CD, the whole idea of in the 70s, 80s, 90s with records, is that we were only hearing a small amount of bands that were out there, but we were hearing the cream of the crop.
Yeah.
Or what the record companies thought were the cream of the crop. Whereas nowadays, we're completely and utterly droning in some great bands out there, but you don't get to see the CDs and you don't.
Yeah, you have to go through it. You really have to churn through it.
Yeah.
But I mean, that's why I like going back and trying to find bands from the 70s that I hadn't necessarily, that I hadn't heard or weren't necessarily that big, because there's probably some great stuff from back then which I never even heard of because they weren't Zeppelin or.
Yeah, Who. Well, see, I think I find that when we listen to bands, if they did a cover or if they mentioned another band, we would go out and look that band up. We were just that kind of people. Like, for instance, when Buckley covered that Genesis track, I instantly went out and looked for that Genesis track because I wanted to hear the original when he did back in, what's it called? Is it New York City? Yeah, that one. He did that, and I instantly went out to, so I wanted to hear the original. And because of that, I ended up hearing a few other Genesis tracks I liked, which I probably would have never looked up and never heard, because I always thought Genesis were pompous and crap. But they have actually done some really good stuff.
That's the Peter Gabriel Genesis, though.
Yeah, the Peter, not the Phil Collins. I've never ever heard any of that stuff apart from the late 80s stuff, which some of it's alright, but. And Van Morrison, I probably would have never heard Van Morrison, because after hearing Brown Eyed Girl 10 million times in the bars, I would never ever think about going out looking at Van Morrison. But then once again, Buckley covered The Way Young Lovers Do, and so I had to go out and hear. Through that, I heard Astral Weeks.
Great album. The only good Van Morrison album, in my opinion.
I know, I do like Moondance. Moondance got some great stuff in it. And supposedly there's a couple after. Have you ever heard the live album he did about that period of time in the early 70s when he had the whole Detroit jazz band behind him? It's very, very good. It's really
I
good.
Really dislike the man.
He is a bit of it. He's just a.
He's a curmudgeonly old prick. I've seen him live, and he was an absolute a-hole on stage.
I probably agree with you. But then again, not just because the guy's a tosser doesn't mean his music's bad. I mean,
but it doesn't give him an excuse to just kind of stop a song in the middle and then turn around and start shouting in front of all the people at this guy who he thought was kind of doing something wrong, which he wasn't. Which is what happened when I saw him live.
And that just, sounds like one of my friends. He used to be like that when we'd record songs in the studio.
Who's that?
He's one of my friends that I knew. And we'd record songs in the studio, and then after playing it three times and we couldn't do it the way he heard it in his head, he'd go off in a fit.
You cheeky fucker.
No, not like that! And then he'd slam his guitar down, run out of the room, and wouldn't speak to us for about 3 days. I'm not name dropping any names there, but
no, of course not. Well, all I can say is that maybe that guy had an issue with the lack of talent that he with his own friends and musicians.
Oh, you would take his side.
Yeah. to do his songs properly. I mean, that's all I'm saying. I don't know who you're talking about. So, possibly do that.
Maybe if he showed a little bit more respect and patience, he would have got what he wanted. But rather than, like, I would have understood if we'd done it 40 times, but usually it was like maybe 3 or 4 times before the...
Maybe the other musicians weren't paying for the studio time.
That is true. No, we were never in the studio. What are you talking about? We had our own studio. So anyway, moving on. I'm going to play another song now until we can take another break, and then we'll come back and we've got the last topic, which we don't know what we're talking about yet, do we, Alistair?
We don't know.
No, so I'll play another song and then we'll come back.
Which one are you doing? Is it Dolphins?
No, that was going to be... Oh, just ruin the end track. I'm going to have to cut that out now. You bastard. Yeah, I suppose I'll play Dolphins now. I'll play Dolphins now, and then we'll come back with some chit-chat about... We'll pick on someone, shall we?
Yeah,
we'll do that. Okay, here's Dolphins.
Saturday's child, and all about the times when we were running wild. I've been a searching for the dolphins in the sea. Oh, but sometimes change the way it's been, and I'll always avoid. Just can't change it back again. I've been a searching for the dolphin in the sea. This old world, how to get along. I only know that peace will come when all I hate is gone. I've been a searching for the dolphin in the sea.
So what we're going to talk about?
We were going to pick on someone.
Oh yeah, who are we going to pick on? Well, Alan Bruce said we weren't allowed to talk about football, so we can't pick on football.
We can't talk about. We could just pick on Alan Bruce then.
We could just pick on Alan Bruce, but then that'd be cruel. Because he is in New Zealand and he can't get to us. Hopefully, at some point in this podcast, we will get Alan Bruce on the show, talking whatever he talks about. I don't know, what is he talking about.
Maybe well, you won't have a chance to talk anyway. You'll just speak all over him.
You will probably speak all over him. I'll probably speak all over him, and then that friend I was talking to probably complain that he can't talk properly and storm out. So maybe we could talk about Alan Bruce's fact that he falls over everything. Now, we would like
the
to ask him.
Finder.
Yeah, does he think he's genetically flawed with his feet? Does he have 2 left feet? Or he always goes first as well. Have you noticed that?
That's because we always put him first, then we find out if there was anything to fall over.
Do you think that's like a genetic thing from the Second World War, where we always sent him first, just in case there was mines? And it was like, we'll send the boy first, and then if he stands on anything, we'll know to go round.
If I'd been a minesweeper after the war, I would have requested Alan to be on my squad.
The rest of people would have metal detectors. Yeah, that's true. It's a strange, strange thing. I don't know who else to pick on. I can't think of anyone offhand.
I mean, it's fucking hell, where to start?
I know, all the people we know that we could pick on. But then we said we weren't going to get too personal.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Yeah, otherwise some of the logic complain and you'll get arrested.
Well, we could talk about the two topics that I...
All right, let's talk about the two topics you wanted to talk about.
Right, the BBC 24-hour news coverage the day before yesterday was atrocious.
Why don't you turn over and put ITV on or Sky News?
Oh, it's turning into ITV.
Is it? Did you know that...
All day it was about Susan Boyle going into the Priory Clinic. That is Channel 5.
Why is she going into the Priory?
Why
is she going into the Priory? For what?
Pressure. She's a freaking...
Pressure? She went into the goddamn competition.
Exactly. It's a non-story. It is such a non-story, and they dragged it out all fucking day.
They probably had nothing else to speak about. See, the thing is with the BBC is that it's the public that is paying for it. So they want news on what they want to hear. The majority of people would want to hear about Susan Boyle, I'm afraid.
Then they should watch 5 or ITV.
But they're paying for BBC, so they want
to watch
BBC.
There's an entertainment section in the news. It should be in the entertainment section. There was that thing about the plane going missing, which is still big news today.
Air France.
Far less than half amount. There's so much news in the world going on, and they stuck with the fucking Susan Boyle thing. So that really pissed me off. So take that, BBC.
Okay, that's fine. I totally agree with that. I don't watch BBC News. I'm an internet person and get all my news feeds straight onto my computer and do it that way. So there may be one thing that says Susan Boyle, but there'll be hundreds of other news items that I click on rather than having someone spoon feed me the news. You see? Technology, baby. What was the other thing you wanted to talk about? Digital photography versus... Would you call it analog?
Actual proper photography.
Would you call it analog photography or would you call it...
Just photography.
Well, see, I think there's pros and cons to both. I don't think there's one winner.
So do I. I think digital photography is great if you're a happy snapper kind of photographer or if you're in the media where you need files sent back.
And forth, yeah. I'd agree with that. And I also think there is an art form to digital media that is totally different from the art form of normal photography.
It is, for one, not really art.
Well, it is. It's just totally
different.
It's
manipulation. It's not art. It's not creating.
I still say it's creating.
Photography is about light and about capturing a moment. Like everything to do with it.
I totally agree with you.
To put it onto your computer and then change everything.
No, see, I totally disagree with you there because I have to say that both mediums are based around light, but they both react totally differently to light. Totally differently. A digital camera reacts totally differently to light than a normal camera would. And so then manipulate the digital camera with the light that you were using. So sometimes you can take a picture purposely in a certain way so that you know you can go home and change it. It's just a totally different mindset from the one you would.
It's just easy. It's lazy photography.
Because it's easy. But that's the good thing about it. I wouldn't say that's
a
bad thing.
No, it's not. Convenience shouldn't come into fucking art.
Oh, no, I totally disagree with you there.
That's because you're lazy.
I am very lazy, but then I wouldn't necessarily call every single person's digital photograph art, but then I wouldn't call everyone's normal film photograph art. So it just depends on how you're doing it and what you're doing. I think mixing the two is probably an incredible art form. Having someone who uses both mediums and manages to mix and match them is also the way forward as far as I'm concerned. I think digital photography's still got a long way to come. We've lived with, let me call it analog photography, I don't know what the hell else you call it, over 100 years now. And we've had it for a long time, so the whole process of it has been... It's just better. We've had it for so long. Whereas the digital medium has been around since what, the late 90s.
And so
it's still in its infancy though, and it's still got a long way to come. And some of the pictures you can take on a digital SLR look fantastic, and you don't have to do anything to them.
They do. Yet though, I will say, of the stuff that I took in Jerusalem, Tig had a lot of trouble. He had his Super Gucci Nikon fully digital.
Yes.
The light there, he couldn't pick up. His weren't as clear as mine, which was an OM1.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. So then that was not necessarily saying that his camera was worse than yours. It was just worse in that situation.
Exactly. And it's being able to where you judge the light. Judge how much time. See, I'm thinking Alan will probably appreciate this. Because we did a lot of like nighttime stuff together.
Digital and nighttime don't go together at all. You need light. You need a lot of light for a digital picture.
Exactly. You have to judge things, like, and it comes through experience.
Yes.
And knowing what to do.
Yes.
Not just fucking going out, click. All right, oh, yeah, that didn't really work out. I'll just put it onto my computer and fix it there. There you go.
No, see, this is where there's a big difference, because with a digital camera, I wouldn't just go click. I go click, 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 then pick out the one that I thought was the best. You see, that's a big difference.
But that's your same argument for music, digital music.
Well, what I'm saying is that I could take, I'd take like 30 pictures, and then I'd pick out the one that I thought was the best and delete the other 29.
Exactly, that's what they do in digital, when they use digital music. They record loads and loads of different things, and then they just tweak it to how they want it to sound. It's not through experience of playing together and knowing what like.
But they did that with analog tapes. They just do different takes. The Beatles never did everything in one take. They still.
No,
have...
I know, but it's knowing how to get specific sounds from. Your guitar, your
yeah, I totally agree with you there as well. I think that there's some because once again I said the digital media is in its infancy. There is certain things that analog has that digital is nowhere near doing at the moment, and there is a certain life on an analog tape that you get that you don't get on the digital.
Exactly,
they tried so hard to take the hiss out that sometimes the hiss is part of the life of a song. The room ambience is part of the life of a song.
Exactly,
which
mic placement.
Yes, and
things like that.
Yes, and
it's all knowledge that you get.
I totally agree with you there, and I think with analog and digital photography, even with analog picture, you can take a crap picture and take it into a dark room and improve it. That's what the dark room's for. Now, basically, the dark room has moved from having a whole room set up to your PC, your laptop with digital photography.
But you can't though, not really. If it's underexposed when you take it, you can't do anything about that.
That is true.
You could do it slightly, but you can still tell.
But the other major thing for digital photography, the argument I would always give is money. It's so much cheaper.
Yeah, absolutely. But so, have you ever tried buying a 4.56 tape?
A what?
You know, the big reel-to-reel tapes.
Oh, right, no.
In analog. It
costs you a fortune, I bet, yeah. Yeah. But then again, I'd say that, yeah, you're probably right there. Actually.
You have to pay for quality to get that real sound. And the more people that just call themselves photographers just because they can go out, take like 500 pictures in an afternoon, and then scroll through them and get maybe 3 good shots out of them, they're not learning anything. There's no learning curve.
Yeah, that is true. I agree with you there. But then I still wouldn't write off digital photography.
It off, as I said, in some aspects and medium, I see it as an absolute necessity.
Mm-hmm. Yes, like press-wise, I'd totally...
Press-wise, definitely.
Yes. I don't know, I think there's just a different art form to digital photography. I think when I go out with my digital camera, I don't look at it as I would... Well, it's still photography, you're still taking pictures,
It's like if I listen to any kind of dance music or stuff that's just purely electronic, I don't go, what great musicians? I say, what great engineers?
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
And it's the same thing for photography. They're very good on computers at being able to manipulate the light and stuff, but it doesn't make them a good photographer. It makes them a good engineer of photography.
Yeah, okay, I give you that one. I agree with you there. All I was trying to say is that when I take out my digital camera, I don't look at it the same way as I would if I took it like my SLR. I don't take pictures in it. It's like a totally different skill set.
Yeah,
when
it's
I'm
like
taking
a toy.
Pictures with it. I wouldn't say it's a toy. I experiment in totally different ways with it. if that makes sense. I wouldn't go out, I'd go on my SLR and I'd mess around with aperture and do all this kind of thing. With my digital one, I'd mess around with totally different things to try and get different types of shots to see how they come out.
Yeah.
So there is a learning curve and an art form to it. It's just not everyone uses it, and most people just ignore it and just take hundreds of pictures and hope that one comes out and then fix on the computer. I wouldn't do that. I'd go out old with the old style set and maybe try putting a red thing on it, a tint on it, and try this, but I can do it all on my camera. And so instead of having to change lenses, I just press a button, and it's just quicker, easier, and sometimes it helps getting the good shot because you can do things quicker, if that makes sense.
Yeah, well, if you're after convenience, then that's fine.
I am after convenience. So when you're trying to get shot sometimes, and the whole arsing around with an SLR can be a right pain in the arse. You have to agree with me there.
But absolutely. But it's so much more satisfying when you get a quality picture.
But but you don't always get the quality picture. Sometimes you can end up with a whole...
Well, then you've learnt something that day.
You've wasted all your frickin' money on this expensive film and all you've got are blurred shots.
Yeah, but you've learnt something.
Yeah.
It makes you a better photographer.
Angrier photographer, maybe. I'd have to say that I'm gonna probably agree with you mostly on that.
Thank you.
Yes. Just to shut you up, basically. So
it's the only way to shut me up is just agree.
Just agree with you and nod politely.
Yeah.
I've done that many times in the past, Alistair, when we sit in the pub and you're venting your feelings and everyone's looking at me saying, "Are you friends with him?" Yeah, just let him rattle on. He'll be over it in a while. He'll be fine. So, okay, is that it then? Should we finish?
If you like, yeah.
Have you got any other topics you would like to discuss? We're currently sitting at 55 minutes, but then once I cut some out, it's only going to be about 50 minutes, 45 minutes long.
Okay.
Mind you, saying that ad song, so it's probably about 55 minutes.
That sounds fine to me.
Yep, I think that's good as well. Okay, well, we'll say goodbye. Hopefully we'll get Alan Bruce on next time. Maybe Leaf might pop his head in if he comes back from
his road trip. And Miranda, hopefully, as well.
Yeah, if Alan Miranda's out there. Hello, Alan, if you're out there, whatever you're doing.
Yeah, come on, man. It would be great to chat.
It would be, yes. Yes, it would be. That's it, then. Okay, I'm going to say goodbye. And you can say goodbye, too, if you want.
Goodbye.
Well done.
Thanks.
That's okay. We'll record another one soon, and hopefully this time someone will give us some topics to talk about rather than us waffling, or as you would put it, me waffling.
You waffle.
I do waffle, yes.
I rant, you waffle.
The Rant and Waffle Show. Okay, I'm going to press stop, and I'm going to cut you off as well, because I'll speak to you.
You heard a rumor that's going around. You got a man plowed away across town. It's the same old story. Tell me, where does it end? It's the same old blues, the same old blues again.
I got off this morning, let the telephone ring, pick a damn thing. Didn't say a thing. It's the same old story. How does it end? Lord, it's the same old blues, same old blues again.
Gonna find me a mountain I'm gonna hide on. I ain't talking to you, I ain't coming out. It's the same old rumor. Tell me, what does it end? It's the same old blues, the same old blues again.
Gonna find me a mountain. Gonna hide out, coming out. It's the same old story. Baby, how does it end? Yeah, same old blues, same old blues again. It's the same old blues, the same old blues again. It's the same old blues, the same old blues.